From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you, friends. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this fabulous Friday and every day. Yes, it's the fifth day of March already, 8:06 in the morning. And if it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. A special, very special shout out to my friend Frankie Hess. It's her birthday today, and she is a super wonderful, special friend to me, and also another friend of mine, Brian Meyer. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday to both of you. Hope you enjoy your day and know how truly special you are and how we celebrate with you, even though we're not right there where you're at. Certainly keep you in my thoughts and prayers today. I am so glad to have you tune in today, and as you may have heard, if you were tuning in to Jeff's show this morning, there on the 15th of March, there's going to be some adjustments to the morning program. Here's the most exciting thing. For 12 hours, we're going to have live radio going on. This is so exciting to me. We're going to have, starting at 6 a.m., Jeff with Political Coffee, then Brian Kilmeade for 2 hours, then myself. Starting now, I'll be at 9 a.m. in the morning. And then Charlie Kirk. I am so excited about Charlie Kirk. If you don't know who he is, he is an amazing younger generation conservative who is just rippling across not only the airways, but also video blogging. And he was at CPAC. He has Turning Point USA, and they have a counter message to the cancel culture and all the things going on. He's with Turning Point USA. So he will be on for 2 hours live. And then Sean Hannity at noon, Mark Levin. So literally from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., all this programming will be actually live. As you're hearing it, it's happening. It's not pre-programmed and then played later. So pretty excited about that. And when we talk about the community calendar, continuing on is the 40 Days for Life here in Salem. That continues until March 28th. We're in, I believe, week 3 of the Biblical Citizenship class at People's Church. Now, if you've missed the previous couple weeks, I want to encourage you to still attend. You can make that up. There's some things online you can do, but we encourage you to get engaged in the process. Biblical Citizenship class, that's from Patriot Academy, 11:30 a.m. at People's Church. And then there's several items, too many to list this morning because I want to get into some pretty good content this morning of an interview. But Oregon Citizens Lobby has some action items, and I want you to go to Oregon Citizens Lobby and follow through with the action items there. There's opportunity for a public testimony. There's certainly opportunity for us to call, email our elected senators and representatives here in Oregon on action. And then this coming, let's see, not this Friday, that's a week. Well, tonight there's something going on. I'll tell you about that in a second. But in a week from now, March 12th, is the Freedom Business Fellowship. This is at the River Church. If you're a business owner and you know a business owner, this is an opportunity for business owners to gather together, encourage one another, empower one another, and how we can stay engaged, and certainly what we can do to allow the community and our elected leaders, whether it be council, whether it be our commissioners or the state house, the representatives or senators, know how their decisions are impacting us. And so we're better together. And I encourage you, if you want to go to the Freedom Business Fellowship, you can get a hold of the River Church, 503-585-8721. And if you're a retired business owner and certainly want to be of encouragement, have some mentoring, be plugged in, we encourage you to attend as well. And so that's what I have right now on the community calendar. I also want to mention tonight, if you are a motorcycle enthusiast, like I am, there is going to be at the Harley-Davidson here in Salem. Of course, you know that's where Terry works, my sweetheart. He's at Harley-Davidson. They're going to have a ladies' night tonight at Salem Harley-Davidson. And so I'm looking forward to attending that. And I thought maybe there'd be others who'd be interested in learning more about riding, or maybe you're a motorcycle enthusiast. I'd love to see you there tonight. And so that pretty much wraps up our community calendar. Again, if you have something you want to put on the community calendar, or you potentially want to be interviewed, or you know someone should be interviewed on my show, send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. So on this Friday, looking at the what I wanted to talk about and topics, when I look at things impacting our community, about a month ago or so, I had an opportunity to go to a training up in Portland, and it was an excellent training on how to be engaged in the process and how to stand up strong and be a good citizen and communicate with our elected leaders and potentially support those, or myself even maybe run in the future for an elected position. And at that wonderful training, I met this gentleman, and his name is Jim, and he is in funeral services. In fact, I believe, Jim, you're
director.
Funeral director. And Jim, hello, good morning to you.
Good morning, and hello to you.
So it was so delightful to meet you, and I met Lisa. Of course, Lisa was on the show yesterday at this training, and I started asking you questions. I've been very curious because we'd had a Dr. Healy on the show maybe six months ago or so, and he had talked to us a little bit about kind of a pushback and what really is going on with the COVID-19. And one of the things that I know has been so difficult this last year is suddenly we're hearing all of these deaths. Like, I think in Oregon it's over 500,000 people, according to their records, they're being the Oregon Health Division, stating that there's 500,000 deaths, but, you know, we're not really hearing, like, where are the flu deaths, where are the heart disease deaths, things like that. And so I started asking you questions, and the thing that you noted was how concerned you were about suicide deaths. And here's something that was just in my news. I get all these news feeds every day about what to pick up, what's happened nationwide. And here's something you may or may not have seen. It says, sadly, Oregon suicides among top 10 in America, CDC report. Oregon had the nation's ninth highest suicide rate, all ages, in 2019, a significant difference from the year before. The state was 17th in the suicide deaths. Now, that's incredible, because these are 2019 rates, 2018. So before going into COVID, we were in the top 10. And one of the things you had mentioned to me is that what you had seen and what you've experienced and your colleagues, too, in the industry, working with the deaths and the funeral homes, is an increase. Talk to us a little bit about what you've witnessed and you know to be true from your own personal experience.
Well, with the medical examiners coming in with all the numerous deaths that have been occurring, of course, people want to push the COVID-19. In May of last year, out of a dozen funeral homes, there was, out of 510 deaths, not one was COVID-19. Another thing that's frustrating, I got most of my information, I get it from professionals a lot too, but I'll just kind of keep that on the down low.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when I was looking up vital statistics on the records, there was a one that comes up. It says Oregon State vital records are closed starting March 20th. And guess where that came from? And the next one I read just yesterday, Oregon State vital records counters are closed until further notice. See below online ordering and mail options. So now it's closed for the general public to look at the vital statistics. I don't know.
And the interesting thing about that is, usually if you go to South Dakota, you go to Arkansas, you go to Texas, here's the vital statistics on the website, through the state website. You can go and see year-to-year data. I know for years and years working in the pro-life field, I would look up induced abortions that, like, South Dakota would track, and I would be able to see comparatives year-to-year and see that going down. The more that we would have legislation, state legislation, to empower women to have more information, the less they would choose abortion. Basically, that's what happened. And so I could go to the vital statistics. It also has things like marriages and, you know, divorce rates. It has different data that those of us working with people like to use. People use it for grant writing. There's a variety of ranges why vital statistics are so important. So you're telling me right now there's no access to that data on the website.
This is what I brought up yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They just said it was going to be to March 20th, And then they decided to shut it down now.
Mm-hmm.
So supposedly, I haven't jumped back into the vital records and statistics, but supposedly it's shut down now. And we have, just here in Marion County, we have 13 funeral homes. And as a funeral director, you absolutely see who comes in with COVID and who doesn't come in with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating also with the retirement centers and the men and women that want to go in and see their mom and dad for lunch or coffee. And then all of a sudden, they can't see them. Within a week, 2 weeks later, they'll call up and say, well, your father's dead or your mother's dead. There's just no compassion whatsoever.
Mm.
And I get to see this firsthand.
Well, and I've experienced similar with my dad being in the VA system of care. Last, I believe he possibly had something like the COVID. It would have been in the fall of 19. He's struggled for the last 10, 11 years with a heart condition, a virus that attacked his heart. So he's in the VA medical system, and he was having all this, you know, couldn't breathe, a lot of the indications that we know some of the symptoms of COVID before we even knew there was COVID, right? And so kind of in that careless, very unsympathetic way, the gal just, he's like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on and what did you find out? And she just, and this is right before Thanksgiving. Well, you have, you know, you have heart failure. And she just, matter of fact, with no support, no doctor reference, and right before, and it really takes a toll mental health wise. You know, you're like, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to make it through the night? Am I going to make it till next week? You know, what are you telling me here? And as we, as a family, processed with him, we were able to say, okay, we've had heart failure for 9 years or whatever. And that's why you have a defibrillator. And that's why, you know, we kind of process with them. But when you get that kind of cold, hard, without the compassion, without, and I have been extremely concerned about our elderly and our seniors and the isolation of COVID and the lack of care. And I've been very concerned, and maybe you could talk to this, about families who've lost loved ones just naturally, you know, died of natural causes, and how they've not been able to celebrate their life. That's a part of grief. Talk to us about how that's affected the services that you provide and what the state here in Oregon, what they've said you can or cannot do, and what you, how that's impacted families.
Well, I'll try to be polite here. It irritates me. Actually, mm-hmm. I'm pretty livid. Back last year was in March, April, May. You could have 10 people at a funeral home, 6 feet apart, to celebrate their loved one inside a funeral home. And at a cemetery, you could have up to 25 people outside. You're wearing a mask outside. You're wearing masks inside. And this is what really irritates me. Our men and women that have served in our country with the armed forces at Willamette National Cemetery, they'd had to sit in their cars at a distance and watch their loved one be buried. They could not even get out to see their mom or dad. And these men and women served in our country, whether it's 4 years or 10 or 20 years. And this goes for the three national cemeteries in Oregon. It was Willamette in Portland, and Roseburg, and then Southern Oregon, Eagle Point.
And certainly not the honorable remembrance that they deserve with them giving their time to our country. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Friday and every day. We'll be back after that. Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day. Good morning to you. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. 41 degrees here at the KSLM studios. Rain in the forecast today. Going to get up to about 50 degrees. And as we move through the next couple days, about the same forecast, it does appear. Of course, you know, Terry always says more than 72 hours, you really don't know, but it looks like sun Monday, possibly Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, sun in the forecast. I know we are right around the corner from spring. Pretty excited about that. And speaking about spring and clean air and fresh air, we kicked off and we're launching here through our sister business. I'm really excited about that. Safe Air Network. And I want you to go to safeairnetwork.com, and it's technology, it's a patent technology that they used in NASA in space and big coliseums for many years. And when COVID-19 hit, they went into manufacturing smaller units that we can have in our home, in our office, in our cars, even dealing with pet and allergens and all of this. Air is pure and clean showed over a 99.9% reduction in airborne SARS-CoV-2 viral particles within 3 minutes. And so if you have a business and you're wanting to open up and you're wanting to provide safe space for your family in your home, and it's not just the viruses, but it's also, you know, if you have allergy season right around the corner, all of those kinds of things. I think it's exciting to have an Aeris Pure and Clean in your own home, your school, your office. It's a wonderful solution, and I'm excited to be a part of that. So if you can go to safeairnetwork.com, there's a little pop-up box that says if you want more information, you can fill out that information and someone will follow up with you. Continuing the conversation this morning, I've got Jim in the studio with me. He's a funeral director. And we're learning a little bit more about kind of what this last year, and I've been real curious about that because, again, a few months ago we had a doctor on who told us that the death certificates, the cause of death had changed, even how they filed the death certificate, and that oftentimes we'll hear, you know, a COVID death with other underlying conditions. And so we don't really see directly deaths due to cancer, deaths due to heart disease, things like that as much. It's like COVID and then a secondary thing. And also we would see like they would be diagnosed with COVID and like a week later they pass away. And it's just the numbers didn't really make sense to me. I didn't really understand it. And the other thing that I've been really curious about is the suicide rate. We're going to get into that next segment a little bit more and kind of dive into the rates and the numbers here in our own county and in Oregon. But I want to talk to you, Jim, a little bit about just the whole, right now, we talked about right before the break that it was so sad because families couldn't celebrate their loved ones' lives, especially the military. You know, they had to stay in their cars and those kinds of things. Tell me where you're at now. What are the guidelines with, because we're not extreme anymore, we're high risk, but if someone wants to have a service through the funeral homes, what are the guidelines now? Where are you at with that?
Well, it started out with 10, and then it went to 25, mm-hmm. and we're at 50 right now. And then outside, it started out at 25, then 50, 100. I believe we're up to 200 at a graveside service as mm-hmm. far as numbers go. Mm-hmm. But everybody's still required to wear a mask, whether you're inside or you're outside. So those are specific numbers at this point.
So let me ask you this. So if I decide not to wear a mask, at one, what happens to me? I get asked to leave at my own loved one's funeral. Is that how that works?
Well, I
or
guess
do it, anybody really, I mean, how do they monitor that really?
Some
good question, huh?
Some funeral homes are all different. Mm-hmm. And some will actually tell you you have to wear a mask or you're going to have to leave. Mm. And then also, it's so bad that they want you to pull that mask over your nose. And most funeral homes supply masks. Some people bring them. Mm-hmm. I do remember one of the pastors here,
the River Church, Pastor
River
Lou.
Church, mm-hmm. Phenomenal pastor. Mm-hmm. He came in, didn't have a mask, shook my hand, we hugged. We were men. Christian mm-hmm. men, mm-hmm. And heaven forbid we weren't wearing a mask, and we didn't elbow bump or fist pump.
Right.
We shook hands and we hugged each other.
Good. That human connection that is so extremely needed, I believe. And here's the sad thing. I had a classmate, I graduated here at Sprague High School, in Salem. We had a classmate. He got married. He and his wife, they were classmates of ours. They got married. They're living up in Washington. I believe he's in the insurance business. And his wife was diagnosed like in January of last year of cancer. And she passed away after her first or second treatment. She passed away like March, April-ish. And they didn't even have a service for her right away. I mean, and she was involved in Christian ministry, you know, schools and all of this. I mean, she probably would have had a packed gym full because she was involved. And they did later, when they opened some things up, have a memorial service, and they did a thing called live streaming, so many of us could watch on the live stream. Is that something that the funeral homes here are doing? I know my grandma passed away last summer, and we were able to attend, and my sister I was there physically, but they were able to attend through live stream.
It's been extremely helpful with the live streaming at the funeral home, especially in the funeral home itself, live streaming at the church, live streaming at the graveside service. So that helps out considerably. Well, this is personal, but one of my friends who died of suicide, and they had the number set at 100, I had to personally turn away another 100 plus because they couldn't come in. They're live streaming, which helped out considerably. But how do you tell people that you can't come in and see your friend or your loved one because the governor specifically put these numbers down?
Yeah, the lack of humanity. And the interesting thing is, we know when someone in our Christian worldview, you know, and belief, we know that they're not here anymore. But it's to support the family that's left behind, the wives, the husbands, the children, the grandchildren, to show that support in that community. And there's the psychology of grief and that process that you go through. People don't need to be isolated. It adds insult to injury when they've had something traumatic like this happen in their life. And it's important. We need community. And that's the part that's been so frustrating for me. Of course, As you know, I'm an extrovert anyway. I love people and connecting and not the fist bumping, but the hugging and the shaking of hands. And that's part of who I am. And so you tell me to go to my home and lock up, it's difficult for me. It's like, don't do that to me. You know, don't send me to my room. You know, I'll do whatever I need to do to stay connected, you know, and let alone then you add grief to that. I'm going to talk to you when we get back. I want to talk a little bit more because I think it's important to address today. Talk about planning. Death is one in one of us is going to die. You know, that's a reality in our life and what people should do to prepare for that in their lives. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Going to dig in a little deeper when we get back. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. We're hanging out together on this Friday, the fifth day of March already. I want to say thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, for being a morning show sponsor. If you need any insurance, I encourage you to get a hold of Bill, 503-885-0789 or sunderlandagency.com. You know, it's fun on social media. Oftentimes I'll find memes that just resonate with me, and I'll either save the picture or take a picture of it or whatever. And this came across last night as I was doing prep for today and looking at stats and kind of bummed about the rates and the suicide rates and things like that. And this is such a truth. Time is non-refundable. Use it with intention. And so part of the discussion this morning, talking about death, it's difficult subject to talk about. It really is. And, you know, we think about our loved ones. We think about our parents, our siblings. We think about, you know, our husbands and wives and those people close to us. We can't imagine life without them. And if any of you have walked on this earth long enough, you have had a loss. You've lost a loved one. I lost my brother suddenly. He was 2 years younger than than me. Rob was his name. Suddenly, he passed away. He had a heart valve malfunction, and he was gone. His coworker tried to revive him. He left a wife and three little kids, and just this last week, he became a grandpa. My nephew, his son, had a baby, and I'm sad that he can't experience that. And it was very traumatic on our family. And I remember walking through my sister-in-law, walking through some of the decisions she had to make. And they didn't have insurance and they didn't have a plan really because they were in their 30s. They're going to live forever. That kind of thinking. You know, you're just in it to make your living and do whatever. And some of the getting to the funeral home and some of the decisions, very emotional decisions, and some of the pressure, like to do cremation, not to do cremation, what casket to pick, where's the burial plot going to be, all of those things. And you're already experienced such great loss, and you're trying to honor your loved one, but really the reality is they're gone, right? And so that it's not, they don't really care. They're as in my brother's case, he loved the Lord, so I know he's in a better place. And I contrast that to my grandmother and my grandfather, who many, many years ago had a plan, and they knew what their plan was. And my grandma lived to be 94. My grandpa died about 15 years or maybe 20 years earlier, but they had a plan. And it's so much easier, I believe, when you have a plan and you talk through those things with your family members, so that it takes, because then you can walk through the steps of grief that need to happen. So I've got in the studio with me Jim, who's a funeral director. And Jim, you know, when I've always wondered about, and I've never really, I've never had a friend who's been a funeral director, so this is new for me. So I've got all kinds of questions. So talk to me a little bit of your process of becoming a funeral director. I mean, have you been through, like, where you've dealt with a body? I don't even know what the proper terms are, the terminology. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, to get your apprenticeship, you have to have so many embalmings and so many family arrangements. Then you take the state exam up at the Oregon Board of Mortuaries and Cemeteries up in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I started out pretty fast, hard and heavy with the embalming aspect of it. But I was so thankful that I was the apprentice, and the person that taught me already had 45 years of experience. He was a licensed funeral director in mm-hmm. California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, just phenomenal. These men were just outstanding. Some had bachelor's degrees in mortuary science. The embalming aspect of it is usually, if you're going to have a viewing mm-hmm. or definitely a burial and such. And then there were other things involved where they call it a post or an autopsy repair. The pathologist, if told to do an autopsy and the family wants to view, then the funeral director, it's an autopsy repair.
You have to get that already, huh?
Right. Mm. And then I was taught that you treat every person that comes in there like they're your mom or your dad or brother or sister. You don't get a do-over in this industry. So mm-hmm. you do the best you can. And I don't mind making it personal. And I definitely believe when Stacy was talking about the pre-planning, my youngest brother was killed in a motorcycle accident, and that was unexpected.
Mm.
And when an unexpected death occurs, the funeral costs can be pretty high, and this was extremely high. And then after that, my father did pre-planning for his wife, my mother, and then himself. And then my mother passed away a few years ago, and it was already paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes all the stress out. For one thing, you have time to consider the cost. You don't need to buy a $10,000 casket.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, think about it, talk about it as a family. I did pre-funeral planning for a wonderful funeral home, and I loved doing that job. Mm-hmm. I would do it for free. You got to talk with families. You got to explain how important pre-planning is. It's just, I mean, for one thing, it's cost-effective, and it takes away the stress, mm-hmm. and you already know that it's already done.
And I think in the grieving process, that is so extremely important. And when you and I talked at the training that we went to, I could tell that you were pretty disturbed about what you've been seeing in the last year with the COVID and the suicide rates just increasing. And I think a lot of that, the mental health part of it, is because of the isolation. Mm-hmm. And I think because of the unknown and, you you know, keeping businesses going back and forth. You're open, you're not open. You can have this and this barrier and go around. And I know several business owners, and I know people who are in positions and working with businesses who have done a lot of coaching. And here's something that happened to me just yesterday. I had a call from a girlfriend who I've known for, like, I want to say 25 to maybe even 30 years. She is like one of the most positive people in my life. She loves the Lord. She's positive. She's had some major changes in the last couple years. She's job changed, retired. She's lost her mom. She got remarried after being single for many years. Just a lot of major changes. And she was having some hormonal things. So she went to her doctor, and doctor put her on depression medicine, and it just triggered her on top of all the COVID stuff. That she told me that a couple months ago, she was seriously at that point of suicide. She was convinced in her mind because of the drugs, which was supposed to help her. It actually made it, compounded it, right? Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for a Christian song that came on at the right time, it snapped her out of it. Praise God, as she was telling me about it yesterday. And I was shocked, because you just don't see that. And when we're so isolated, we don't see these warning signs necessarily. So what's the data that we have in the county? I mean, you're seeing young people, right? Teenagers, women, and in very critical kinds of things, like with guns and maybe overdoses and things like that. What are the stats that you're seeing?
Well, I was trying to get a hold of a specific stats where I was told verbally by a professional, mm-hmm. while this was all taking place, about the COVID-19 and overdoses and suicides. And the number was thrown out, it's up 300% in the state. But now, since I dove in to find the specifics and the statistics, I can't come up with that specific number. Interesting, though, here is on a lot of the statistics that Marion County is usually number three or number four in the entire state. Want to hear deaths by manner, Marion County residents. And this is year 2000, all the way up to March 1st, so just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. Number one, of course, was Multnomah County with Multnomah County had 6,431 deaths.
And this is by suicide.
These are just
deaths. In general.
There's natural, there's suicide.
Okay.
Multnomah County had 147 deaths. And the next one, of course, is Lane County, Eugene. The total deaths there was 4,053. Mm. And coming up in number three, of course, is Washington County with 3,777. And then we have Marion County, number four, with 3,172. These are nice statistics, especially since it takes me up to just a few days ago. And here's another specifics: deaths and medical examiner causes by autopsy status. So when they're doing autopsies, they specifically know how the person passed away. Mm-hmm. And here we go again. Multnomah County is number one with 7,682. And number two, Lane County, once again, 4,215. And autopsies were 147 autopsies.
And so those, again, are just general deaths in general. That's not tied to suicide, is it?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And does it have a percent? Does it list suicides particularly? I know on the Marion County page, mm-hmm. it says, in Marion County, we join the Surgeon General and state leaders in recognizing and responding to clear need for suicide prevention here in mm-hmm. Marion County. Suicide mm-hmm. is the second leading cause of death among youth ages 10 to 24.
Yes.
How sad is that? For every completed suicide, there are many more young people affected by suicide. In Oregon, nearly 1 in 12 8th graders in Oregon and 1 in 16th 11th graders reported they had attempted suicide in the past 12 months. An alarming 16% of 8th graders and 14% of 11th graders reported seriously considering suicide in the past 12 months. This is concerning. As a foster adopted mom, and I had to walk through this with my now she's 19, because of the trauma she experienced before the age 6, she had lots of thoughts of suicide. I also know women, the stats say women who've ever experienced an abortion, their increased ideation of suicide and suicidal thoughts and suicide is higher. There are a lot of indicators, and of course, just the isolation. And so some of the warning signs that we need to be aware of. And I love the fact that right here in Marion County, a suicide prevention talk line, it's 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-TALK. Or you can go to suicidepreventionlifeline.org. That is right on the website here at the Marion County. I love that. And remember, if people, and this is how I knew with my daughter, you know, if they have a plan, if they talk about it and they have a plan on how they're going to implement that, and you find out somehow they're threatening to hurt or kill themselves, talking or wanting to hurt or kill themselves, looking for ways to kill themselves, or seeking access to firearms, medication, or other means, talking or writing it down on a piece of paper, feeling rage. Sometimes it's manic, up and down, uncontrolled anger. You know, they flip. They go from being happy to all of a sudden introverted and withdrawn. They can't get out of bed, things like that, acting reckless, risky activities. All of those things are indications that they may need some additional help. And I want to mention too, oftentimes when we're isolated, you know, we don't see other people, or fear that also can play into that. And so we want to be a resource for you, friends, and we want you to be aware of those around you. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Hanging out with you on this Friday. Want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Give Dave and Paige a call at 503-939-7099. We're continuing the conversation this morning, and it's not every day, and certainly now I can add to my list of friends someone who is in the funeral services as a director. Jim, glad to have you on the air with me today. And you know what, the privilege of being here on this side of the microphone and in the community is I get to connect people to the radio and a radio experience and help them kind of walk through what that's like. And it's really just like you and I having a cup of coffee and having a conversation, but it can be a little nerve-wracking. You're doing a great job. Are you taking a deep breath and feeling pretty good about being on the radio with me? What do you think? Is it kind of, I know you listen, so what do you, is it, it's way different, isn't it? What do you think?
It's extremely different.
and the part that when I start getting nervous is when they start talking about, yeah, we might add a camera in the studio and people can start watching as well as listening. And I'm thinking, oh, now that makes me a little nervous. But we're continuing the conversation about the topic of death. You know, we talk about life, we talk about living a full and abundant life and to be of encouragement, but our reality is that someday too we will pass away. And we know that someday those around us will pass away too. We just don't know exactly when and how many days we have on this earth. But we can have a quality of life while we're here and do the best that we can to make sure our community, our family is safe and we have a plan. And one of the things I've been real concerned about, Jim, is our students and the suicide rate. You know, we just mentioned last segment how high it is for kids 10 to 24. And certainly transition is hard and preparing our teens and the isolation and the mask and the fear and all of that. I am proud of our state Republicans. They said, they just wrote a letter to Governor Brown, and they said they demand that the schools open. Students are facing mental health issues, peer suicides, and social isolation. And so they had put this letter out. Several House and Senate Republicans have sent a letter to Governor Brown requesting that she take decisive action and reopen Oregon schools for full in-person instruction immediately. And as the governor has tried to steer between the demands of teachers' unions, upset parents and students increasingly damaged by the disruption of school closures, pressure has been mounting for schools to reopen. And as we know, the younger ages open here in Salem the last couple of days, but it is something that students are facing. Total mental health, peer suicide, social isolation while not in school, and our kids need to get back because it says last year we saw nearly a 40% increase in calls in the suicide hotlines among youth, and a recent survey showed over half 11 to 17 year olds reported having thoughts of suicide. So I'm curious as far as the rates, what did you find? Talk to us a little bit about the different categories and rates and the increase in the percentages you had that. Let's share that with the listeners today.
This one's a pretty short list here. Suicide death by age, 24 years and younger, it's up 13%. Between 25 and 49 is up 50%. 50 and older, 50%. Age breakdown and suicide, under 18 years of age, 5% increase. 19 to 24, 10%. 25 to 35 years of age, up 15%. 36 to 60 is 50%. 61 and older is 31.5%.
And they're talking about how methods of suicide too.
Here are some other ones. The total cases for the year 2019 and into 2020 was 983 deaths. Then here we go, the ME cases, 379. Manner of death, up 40%, natural, accident, 45%. Suicide was up 15%. Homicide, up 2%. Undetermined, there's 5%. Overdoses with drugs, that was up 20%. With meth, fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, other opiates, and combined opiates. And that's a short breakdown.
And the difficulty for me is in the effort to, and I believe it's tied to the isolation, the mental health piece to COVID-19 and the fear. When you think about this last year, all of that is increase. It's all increase. And we were supposedly safer because we're isolating, right, from COVID. And yet here we are with these increase rates. And I'm curious, are they finding it mostly at home? Are they in the parks? What's the methods or where people are at when they're finding these suicides?
It's a mixture at home and then the parks. It doesn't get advertised on the Statesman Journal or the Oregonian. You don't see that a lot. And even on the news, Channel 2 and 4 and 8, they don't talk about these things. And we find people overdosed on heroin and meth in the parks. And they're not all homeless people either,
right,
that are overdosing. The depression is through the roof on this. I mean, you take away the kids can't go to school and, you know, you can't go to work. It's just, it's unfathomable.
Well, and again, this is the reality that we're living in, and we need to get our schools open up. We need to get our businesses open up. And I really want to encourage folks, again, a week from today, there is going to be a Business Fellowship Alliance at the River Church. I really encourage you to get plugged in. And if you need that link, send me an email. So I'll send it to you. Stacy@kslm.news. Freedom Business Fellowship at the River Church. You can also give them a call, 503-585-8721. Ways that we can stay encouraged in business and what you can do with your employees and all of that, how we can stand strong where we're at. We need to get our state open up. I think that we will see if we can get things back to somewhat of a regular routine. And I like to use the word normal, but I don't even know. That's just a setting on the dryer, really. I don't even know what normal is anymore, but get into some sort of routine again and structure to allow people to bloom and flourish in their work, in their school, in their personal, you know, even just being able to go to the coast. For a long time, we would take a ride or drive to the coast because that's one of my favorite places to go and just enjoy the time. Well, then they had all the restrooms closed. You couldn't even find a good place to go to the bathroom. It was like their way of saying, nope, don't come to the coast yet, you know. And that can be kind of add to the anxiety, you know. And so take care of yourself today, friends, and go for a walk. I know that there's some rain today, but go out and enjoy some weather, you know. What other things do you like to do? Working out? Now the gyms are open again, right? You like to work out? Is that what you do? What do you do to help with anxiety, Jim?
Oh, I get in the gym once a month, whether I need it or not.
Once a month?
No, more like 6-7 days a week.
Good for you.
I'm going to just put it out there. I mean, you know, here we go. John Miller is unbelievable man. He closed down for March, April, May. But this go around, he said, I'm not closing my gyms. There was hundreds and thousands of members that got to work out of the courthouse athletic clubs. Unbelievable. I don't think people realize just how healthy it is. It clears your mind, your soul, your body. It's relaxing. It's calming. And these are men and women from all ages. So John Miller, helped out this entire city of Salem by keeping his gyms open.
Yep.
And so he's earned a lot of respect from many of us.
And I think it's important. I think working out is important. What we eat is important. Who we surround ourselves is so very important. And certainly also finding a good church that's open is very important. All of these things are important. You all, we're heading into a weekend. Thank you for tuning in. We're wrapping up for day. Thank you, Jim, for being a part of the show this morning and bringing your information. And if people need to get a hold of you, they can send me an email if you want to know more about Jim and the services he provides and his wisdom, anything to do with a funeral. You can send me an email, stacy@kslm.news. Have a wonderful weekend, friends. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what we're facing today, you and I, we are overcomers. God bless you, and God bless the USA.